how God sees it. But before I start, you know, I want to talk to you just 2 or 3, 4 or 5 minutes max about what's going on, because so many people are upset, so many people are scared, so many people are fearful. And let me tell you what, with all that's going on right now, you know, with the world and with the earth and all this kind of stuff, the last people that need to be scared is Christians. Because whether he comes or not, we're going to be good. And we should be looking, Scripture says that we should be wanting and looking for his appearance. So it ain't going to be tomorrow, I'm sorry. But if it is, I'm ready to go. If it is, are you ready to go? The thing is we got to be ready at all times. And when men do things, when morality starts to fall and we see things happen on this earth, that's stuff that laws, when laws are changed, that's stuff that man-made stuff that happens. But whenever you start seeing the sun, the moon, the stars, earthquakes, circadian bugs, you know, wars in the Middle East, they got the red heifers finally. And if you don't understand the red heifer thing, you can even look it up. It has to be not one hair on that cow can be any color but red. It's got to be pure. And they search it and look at it. They've already got a red heifer. Now they're building an altar. They're getting ready to build a tent. All this stuff that man cannot create. That you have to know those are the signs of the times. Okay? So it's a matter of fact. And you're like, well, yeah, it don't make sense. Well, Luke 21, 25 through 28 says, and there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars to give us signs of the times. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, and they are, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when these things begin to happen, stand up and look, for your salvation is near. It's near, okay? It says it's near. Then Mark 13 and 7 says, and you will hear wars and rumors or threats of wars. Listen, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. So here's the thing. We as Christians got to know, yes, this is all signs. This is the beginning of the end. We're in the end times. We are in the end times. Great-grandma talked about being in the end times, but we weren't. But now we are. Because why? Because now the sun and the moon and the earth and earthquake, all these things are really happening. You know, Israel's fighting over there, and now Iran's is all this stuff. But we don't need. We are not governed by our government. We are physically, but not spiritually. Scripture says that God has the government on His shoulders, right? And so we got to know that you got to be ready at all times. These things happen, and they are concerning. But we can relax and say, God, if you come, I'm ready to go. But in the meantime, because I know that you're coming back, we need to preach the gospel and evangelize more than ever before. We got to get out of our comfort zone and use this opportunity, because all non-Christians right now realize something's happening. They may not be serving God, but all non-Christians are saying, this is weird. I've heard them talk about that in church. I've heard my grandma talk about this. I've heard about this and all this stuff. And so they know that they are open to conversation right now. Matter of fact, last night on Facebook, somebody tagged me because somebody on Facebook just said, hey, I'm ready to turn my life to Jesus. Anybody know a church that I can go to? And somebody tagged me, and I saw everybody said, well, they started putting their church name there. So I'm like, I ain't got time to, somebody wants to get saved, I ain't got time to just give somebody's church's name. So I said, hey, I messaged them privately. I said, hey, man, you can come tomorrow at 10 o'clock. If you're here, praise God, you can come down to the altar anytime you want to, you know, or if you're online. But you know, or I said, we could do it. I could call you right now. I said, you don't have to wait. I talked to somebody else yesterday that said, hey, I think it's time for me to come to Christ. I think it's time for me to turn my life over to Christ. And I said, hey, we can do it right now, or you can come in the morning. So the thing is people are open, people are ready, people are like that, but they need somebody to lead them. I mean, it's a shame. It is a shame to me that someone had to get on their Facebook page and says, I want to get saved, where can I go to church? Why has nobody invited that person to church? That's an indictment against the church. That's an indictment against Christians. We should be all the time saying, hey, you want to go to church? You want to go? If they say no, they say no. Ask them again. You know? Ask them again. Oh, I don't want to go to church. Okay. Hey, how about this week? You know? Because people are looking for that. People are needing you to share Jesus with them. These are 100%. I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, based on the Word of God, these things are 100% signs of the times. We are in the end game, period. You can say we're not. Okay, that's fine. But you better be ready to go either way. So I want to talk to you today because, see, God don't think on our level. We think we got it figured out. You go on TikTok, everybody and their mama's got an idea and a plan and what this is. And they go to encyclopedias and they go to almanacs and they go to CERN and all this. They look everywhere and they try to, you ain't going to believe this. And they got all these theories. You know, we don't need to get caught up into those theories. You know, a conspiracy theory goes, what we need to do is say, God, time is short. I need to find somebody I can talk to Jesus about. I need to share Christ with somebody. Because Isaiah 55:8-9 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. We think we got it figured out. Oh, I got it figured out. God's like, no, my thoughts ain't nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond what you could even imagine. For just as the heavens are far higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So he looks and sees at things differently than we do. And I know we cannot look like he does, look exactly, see things the way he does because he's God. But we can definitely put on a lens. We can definitely put on, as y'all heard me call it in other messages, our God goggles on. Put on our God goggles and try to say, God, help me see things more like you. I can't see like you. You're so much higher than me. But God, I can see things differently than I can through my flesh. So help me. Because Jesus, he looked in Matthew 16, he looked at his disciples and said, who do you think I am? When you look at me, who do you see? When you look at me, what do you feel? How do you want to react? What jumps in you? Have you ever looked at anybody, you know, and asked them, you know, even a non-Christian, maybe look at a non-Christian sometime and say, when you look at me, what do you see? Do you see Christ in me? It may hurt your feelings. Think about it. You know, hey, when you look at me, do you see a Christian? Do you see Christ in me? Do you see someone that is putting on? Do you see somebody that perceives to be fake? Or do you see the real deal, that you really see that I'm struggling and I'm trying and I'm doing my best? And Jesus asked his disciples, who do y'all see? What are you looking at? They said, some say that you're John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah, and some say some of the other prophets. So they still hadn't got it yet. He pressed them more, and he said, how about you, Peter? Simon Peter, what do you say? And Simon said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, when I read that scripture, God told me, I feel like in my spirit, not like voice, but just in my spirit, I felt compelled. That's a decision we have to make every day. You just can't say, Christ, you're the Lord Messiah, and then just forget about it. I feel like every morning when you wake up, you need to decide Christ is King. He's my Messiah. He's my Lord. Because if you don't, you are opening yourself up for the enemy to come in and say, well, I'm your King today. You allow your flesh to yield towards the evil side rather than the good side. But when you wake up and say, Christ, you're my King, you're my Messiah, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. And the first thing in the morning, you're setting a precedent. This is it. This is who I am today. But if you wake up and just do your own thing and let the enemy come in before long, you'll be like, oh, Satan, you're my Savior today. You have to do that. Numbers chapter 14, 36 through 38. It says, the 10 men Moses sent to explore the land, the ones who incited rebellion against the Lord with their bad report, were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. Of the 12 who had explored the land, only Joshua and Caleb remained alive. Why? Because when Jesus talked to Joshua, when he talked to Moses, he said, listen, go take the land. It's yours. Go take it. And then Moses is like, well, the people said, maybe we need to go check it out, Moses. Maybe it's ours, but maybe we need to go check it out and see. And Moses said, yeah, let's go check it out. Let's send some spies over there. God did not say, go send some spies. He didn't say, go look at it. He said, it's yours. Go take it. And they went and they took and sent spies over there. And then, so when you do that and you get out, then you're getting in the flesh. You're not seeing through God's eyes. When you're seeing through God's eyes, you're like, we can take it. It's ours. Let's do this. Right? When you're looking through your flesh, you're like, I know he said that, but can we really? They went over there and 10 of them said, hey, these guys are like giants and we're like grasshoppers. There's no way we could beat these guys. But what did Joshua and Caleb say in Numbers 14, 7 through 9? They said to the people of Israel, the land that we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us a safety into that land and give it to us. It is rich with land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of that land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. See, it's all how you look at it. It's all perspective. If you're looking through your flesh, you're like, oh, if David looked in his flesh at Goliath, he would have said, man, just like his brothers, we can't beat him. But he didn't look at his, he didn't look. He looked through his spiritual eyes and saw the evil in Goliath and said, no, we can take him. He's helpless against me. And we got to start looking that way. Quit looking through your fleshly eyes at all the things that happen in your life. Quit looking through your fleshly eyes at the news. Start looking through your spiritual eyes. Oh, that's just part of God's plan. It's got to happen. This thing has got to happen. It's happening. It's happening. So how does it affect your situational view? When you look through your God goggles, when you look through your spiritual eyes, when you do that, number one, you can see things in the spirit that other people don't see. Because you're looking through the spirit, not the flesh. People who are not Christians cannot look through the spirit. If they're not Christians, they don't got God goggles. They got Satan shades, right? So they got these, you got to have your God goggles. When you do that, you can see things in the spirit because you're looking in the spirit. You are looking through a spiritual realm and you aren't looking through your flesh. So you will see. So what did they see? They said, it's a wonderful, rich land flowing with milk and honey through the God goggles. Satan Shay said, grasshoppers. We're like grasshoppers to them. They're giants. So you can't look through the natural lens in life. If you do, you're going to get sidetracked and you're going to lose your faith. Number two, you will not see the enemy as an unbeatable foe. You will know, just like they said, they're helpless prey to us. You can know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's what happens when the enemy comes against you to kill, steal, and destroy. You say that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If you're not, you're like, oh, I'm just going through it. The devil's against me. The devil's trying to beat me down. The devil's trying to take my life. The devil's doing this. The devil, you're giving him all the glory like he's in charge. You're giving him the authority. You're saying that he's winning. But you say, no, he's a liar and he's the father of lies. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And then number three, you realize like David did and like they did that the battle's not yours to fight. They said, the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. We don't ever, whatever happens, all this stuff, I don't care what happens tomorrow. Earthquakes, splits the East Coast down. I don't care what happens. If we go to war, World War III, all this has got to happen. All of it's got to happen. But we don't have to be afraid. We need to walk in faith and say, God, you got me. You didn't bring me this far just for it to end like this. There's tomorrow. And tomorrow is eternity. And then number four, you walk in safety and receive the victory by believing what God says. They said he will bring us into the land safely, into the land that God has given it to us. You'll walk in safety because you believe what God says. So when he says something, you believe it, and then that happens. You don't walk in timidly. You don't walk in like them guys did. It's like, oh no, this is horrible. When you walk up against a trial, when you walk up against a tribulation, you're like, God, you're with me. Let's do this. You know, hey, we're going to do it. You got my back, God. And you're not intimidated by the enemy. Genesis 3 and 6. The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. Her fleshly eyes. She wanted some fleshly things that would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. Then she gave it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. So she was looking through her flesh. She was walking in the spirit, and then the enemy, she started having when did it change? She started having a conversation with the enemy. That's when all of a sudden she started taking these off and putting on her Satan sheet. And she was talking to Satan, and he was making sense to her. Do not have a conversation with the devil. He's sly, he's slick, and he's cunning. It needs to be a one-sided conversation. Satan, I rebuke you. I take authority over you. The Lord rebuke you. You're a liar. Go back to the pits of hell where you belong. Leave me alone. Leave my family alone. I have authority over you. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I submit to God, and you got to go. That's it. Let me say, keep your mouth closed. Cierren los bocas. Keep your mouth shut. I don't want to hear it. But don't give them the hand. Right? Don't let them talk back. And so when that happens, when you allow the enemy to have conversation with you, what happens? You all of a sudden start seeing fault in other people. You start talking with the devil. And he's like, well, how about, look at them. Who do they think they are? Right? And then you become judgmental. Well, I don't know who they think they are. So you see fault in others, and then you become judgmental, and then all of a sudden you get prideful and ego. They think they're better than me. No, I'm better. I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. You become self-righteous. You have no care for others, and all you care about is yourself. And then most of all, and the biggest, baddest part is the fact that all of a sudden when you start having a conversation with the devil, you start seeing God in a different light. Because he says, didn't God say? Didn't God promise? Aren't you still struggling? Aren't you still suffering? Aren't you still dealing with the same daggone thing over and over again? And all of a sudden it starts making your mind shift and think, and you start thinking about that. You take your mind off of Christ, put your mind on things of the world and the enemy, and all of a sudden you start thinking all these bad things. And then there's another kind that you have, another lens. You look through your God lens or your Satan lens, but then also you look through the lens of the world. The world has lenses too. And whenever you look through the world lens, then all of a sudden you look at yourself negatively. How you look and your abilities. You look in the mirror, you're ugly. You have nothing. You're not good enough. You can't make this life. That's what the world wants you to believe. Satan is the prince and power of the air of the world, right? So therefore, he's still got influence in the world. And even though I'm saying it's the world lenses, it's what the world wants you to think about yourself, because the world always wants to outdo you and make you feel less than. And the devil really pushes that. But he wants you to think negatively of yourself. You can't do this. You're not good enough. You're not great enough. Why are you even trying this? And also then all of a sudden, if you got the world, all of a sudden when you got to looking through the world's glasses, lust will come up. Lust is an unbridled love and compassion and desire and addiction for something that you can't have or you shouldn't have. It's a fleshly lust. It's not just sex. You can have lust for money. You can have lust for things. You can have lust for whatever. You can have lust for popularity. You can have lust for power. But lust is worldly. The world's glasses, well, in 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but comes from the world. So the world wants very hard to get you to lust after things of this world, money and pride and sex and drugs and popularity and prestige and all these things. They want you to look negatively at yourself. They want you to look down at yourself. They don't want you to see who Christ sees you as. You know, you got to put on those God goggles and look in that mirror and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's masterpiece. You are love. You are the apple of his eye. You are just wonderful, and God cares about you so much that he sent his son to die for you. You have to constantly, it's a mind battle. And if your mind is not on Christ, the enemy's going to win that battle. Every single day of your life, there's a mind battle going on. And you've got to overcome that. The world also wants you to be greedy. Mine, mine, mine. I got to have for me. I got to keep for me. I can't worry about nobody else. It's mine. It's all about me. And also the world will make you so critical. If your mind's not on Christ, you will criticize everything and everybody in the church and everybody in the world and everybody around you. Mom and dad, brother, sister, whoever. You'll be very, very critical. So let's see. But how did Jesus view others? Or how did God or Jesus, but one, how did they view others? Because as I said earlier, the earthquakes and the eclipse and the cicada bugs, all the wars and Israel, now Iran, all that stuff, you know, all that happens is causing people to really realize, wait, something's going on. I don't know what's going on, but something's going on, and I need some answers. I had a phone call or text last night. Somebody said, hey, what's going on with this? What's going on? Talk to me. I need to know. I want to turn my life around. And because of that, people know that it's not a coincidence. These people are looking at this stuff, and they're like, this is not a coincidence. This is not something that man can make happen. This right here is something that's happening in the sun and the moon and stars, and they're so open right now. And they want us to help them. So how did Jesus or God, when Jesus was walking the earth, God's son, how did he see people? How should we see people the way Jesus sees people? Well, when the woman was caught in adultery, he didn't see a vulgar, promiscuous woman. He saw an insecure woman that was judged all her life, that just needed someone to pass by and help her get on the right path and say, this is not the path you need to be on. We need to look at people that we see on the wrong path and say, hey, man, you're going down a path that's dark. You're going down a path that is damnation. You're going down a path that is not who you are. You need to get on the right path. Why don't you come to church with me, right? The woman at the well, he didn't see a woman that was thirsty for water, even though she was thirsty for men, right? You know, but she did not see that. He saw a woman that couldn't keep her husband because she was so thirsty for true love, and she couldn't find the love she was looking for. She was looking for love that was greater than a man could give her. And so we need to understand that and say, hey, people are out there, they're looking for love. They're looking for affirmation. They're looking for validation. And we can tell them, hey, you're not going to find it in the world. You're doing all this stuff trying to find validation and find love. And you're trying so hard to have somebody to love you because you've been rejected. You've been abused. And you want so much to have somebody to love you. And you're looking for this earthly love that man can give. And man can't give you that. The only place you can get it is in Jesus. And then when he looked at Zacchaeus, he didn't see a short punk crook kid that was a cheating tax collector. He saw a man that was looking for satisfaction through the love of money. That validated him. Having that money in his life, the love of money validated him. And he didn't see that. He saw a man that needed satisfaction of his soul. That's the one, because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. When he looked at Lazarus, he didn't see a stinky dead man. He saw a man that needed to be, that was in bondage and needed to be set free. You know people that are in bondage. Look at them, don't look at them as they're bound. Look at them as they're bound and need to be set free. What can I do to help that? Saul, when he looked at Saul, he didn't see an evil murderer that went around and killed Christians. When he looked at Saul, he already saw Paul before Saul became Paul. As soon as he looked at Saul, he saw a Paul in him. And he said, that man is going to be able to be a minister and a preacher to the Gentiles. He's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He didn't look at, we look at people on how they are right now, not how they could be. We got to start looking at people saying, what can they be? Not what are they? What can they be? What is their future? What can God do through them? When he looked at Peter, he didn't see a fussing, cussing sailor who would betray him 3 times. When he looked at Peter, he said, that cat can walk on water, I bet. I bet he's got enough faith to walk on water. You know, I bet he can preach. I bet he could be one of my preachers, and I bet he could preach to 5,000 or 3,000 and people get saved. When he looked at David, he didn't look like a little scrawny shepherd boy or a murderer. Or an adulterer that he was. He saw a king. He saw a man after God's own heart. He saw a rock-slinging giant killer. When he saw Moses, he didn't see an inadequate, stuttering dummy. He saw a leader. That this cat right here probably can lead the whole nation of Israel out of here. Even though he chose not to, he saw that faith in him. Because he saw it in himself, but he saw it in Moses, but Moses chose not to obey. When he saw Pastor Doug, he didn't see a young, immature youth pastor full of fear and hurt. He saw a confident lead pastor of Kingdom Impact, one of the greatest churches in Wilmington. And a man that was not willing to fit the mold of what a pastor should be, but a man that was willing to say, you know what, God, I'll love people and do my best to love people like you would have me love them. And whenever he saw you, he didn't see your weakness. He didn't see your failure. He didn't see your addiction or your insecurity. He didn't see your falling, your shortness. He didn't see your anxiety and your depression and your discouragement. He saw a man and a woman full of the Holy Spirit. He saw an overcomer. He saw someone who had faith to move the mountains, to lead their family, to grow, to be better people, to really have enough hope to say, you know what? I'm going to be part of this and I'm going to help change the world. I'm going to help change my world anyway. And he saw that in you if you come. Whenever you put when you look through God's Christ's eyes, it will change your faith level. It will change your faith level. It will bring things in more into focus. That's the big things. Looking through God's eyes, really what it does is looking like, you know how you have binoculars and you take the little eyes and you spin them around and it becomes in focus? That's what God, that's what faith does. Whenever you have, when you look it through Christ's eyes, it brings around and makes things clear. And it will increase your faith because you're seeing God can do this. It will give you a desire to serve others. You're like, you know what? I need to serve. I need to help. I need to see what I can do to help the church. What I can do to help others in the community. What can I do to help? When you see through those glasses, you also have humility. You'll realize that it's not about you. It's about God. It will affect every decision that you make from that point forward. You always think, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this a good decision? I want to follow your steps. And it will keep you in relationship with Jesus. How should we look at other people? We should look at other people with compassion. Mark 6 and 34. God saw a huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. We need to start looking at people. The only reason they are who they are is because they're a sheep without a shepherd. Because you know what? You and I were once a sheep without a shepherd. And look how we lived. What if people wrote us off because we were a sheep without a shepherd? But we got to understand, all they need is a shepherd. All they need is Jesus to lead them, to guide them, to help them, to change them, and they can change. You will never see others the way you should without a relationship with Jesus. People who do not have Christ in their life do not see Jesus they do not see others the way they should because they're looking through the fleshly eyes. And they are looking and saying, you know what? I don't see what y'all see because they're not looking through the right lenses. You don't have to know how, you don't know how he sees things that you will never see like him. We got to understand we will never see totally clearly like he does because Scripture says that we look through a glass darkly. So we got to understand that we'll never see him just like he does, but we can definitely bring it a little more in the picture and get a little more clear perspective. But we have to understand that now is one of the greatest harvest times because all these things, start a conversation. Talk about the eclipse. Talk about this stuff. That's a great opener. And then you say something like, well, hey, what can we do about it? And let them philosophize. So, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. Because I know if he comes, I know where I'm going. And if he stays, I know what I'm going to do. Matter of fact, Have you ever asked Christ in your heart? You know, just use that as a conversation. Use it as a conversation. Well, Pastor Doug, listen. Because you are quiet, because you're an introvert, you're just going to let people die, go to hell, and that's going to be your excuse? You have friendships with somebody. You may not go to the stranger and talk to them about Christ, but at least talk to your friends. At least talk to your family, those who you are not an extra introvert with. Share Christ with them. Share the hope of the world with them. Look for those glasses. Now is the time. I told y'all last week, God gave me that word last week for salvation. It said, it's time. And God is doing stuff in the earth. The earth is shaking. The earth is, something's happening. And we'll know more tomorrow. And we'll know more the next day. And then we'll know more than 90 days. And it's just going to keep on happening. But I want you to know, you can be at peace. You don't have to be part of the confusion. You can be at peace. And you can walk in peace. And you, because you have peace in you, you can help give peace to other people through Christ. Allow that to happen in your life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody here want to say, hey, I don't have that peace. I don't know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm not a Christian. I don't know Him. Or maybe I want to come back to Him. I want Christ to be in my life. I want to accept Him. I want to change. I need to change. Not just because of the fact that all this is happening. This stuff is happening and made me start thinking about it. But I don't want nobody to get saved out of fear. Because as soon as the fear is gone, all of a sudden you're going to go right back to your old ways. Today you need to make a decision to serve Christ, because you make a decision to serve Christ because He died for you. And you know it's a better life. And you know there's a future in heaven for you. Does anybody here at all want to receive Christ today? Say, I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you want to ask Christ. We had 8 people total between us and the kids. We had somebody after church. God is doing some things right now. Today could be your day. Would anybody want to receive Christ in here today? Say, I want to receive Christ. Anybody at all? I want to come to the Father. I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Okay, who would say, Pastor Doug, I'm a Christian, but I don't always look through my God goggles. Sometimes I got those Satan shades on and I need to throw them away, but sometimes I look through stuff through my flesh. I look at things and people in an unhealthy way. So would you pray for me today, Pastor Doug, that maybe I can start seeing things more clearly and I can look at people the way Christ looked at them rather than looking at them the way the enemy wants me to look at them? Anybody at all want to raise your hand? Yeah, if you're truthful, everybody should raise your hand, because my hand's up. Sometimes I don't look through the right lenses, especially when I'm mad or I'm angry or I'm upset at something or someone. Sometimes I put them shades on. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You today. We thank You for the peace that's in the room. We thank You for the word, God, that You laid on my heart to share today. Help us, God, not to waste this moment that the whole world is shaken. The world is full of fear. Help us to share hope. Help us to share Jesus. Help us to share love. Help us to share, Father, the fact that we cannot have to worry. We don't have to walk around in fear. God, we know. We see the signs. You said that we would see the signs. You said that You would use the sun, the moon, and the stars, and You're using them. We see them, Father. We know these are the end times. And we are ready to go. Those that are not ready to go, Father, are so stuck with things in this world, in the flesh, and the pleasure of this world. That's why they don't want to let loose. Because they're still addicted to what this world can give them rather than what You can give them. They don't understand, God, how much greater heaven's going to be than this stinking earth. Forgive us for that thought, Father. And help us to see others through Your eyes. Help us to reach the lost. Help us to minister to those who are around us. Help us to reach our world for You, God. God, we love You and we praise You. We honor You, sir, for all that You've done and all that You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. We're so excited. Hey, Mother's Day is coming up in several weeks. We're excited about the Mama Lattes. Right? We're going to have some baristas here that can help with that. And so you're a big deal to me and a bigger deal to God. I want you to have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Invite somebody to come back next week. God bless you. Amen, brother.